The Santa Barbara Theater of the Air presents Louise Latham, Braden McKinley, David Newton, Edie Tolt, and Larry Williams in Trifles by Susan Glaspell. The time, a frigid, blustery midwinter day in 1916. The place, the kitchen of an abandoned farmhouse in an isolated farm community in the Midwest. As the outside door to the kitchen opens, five people file into the dismal room, and we hear...
Oh, well, this feels good. Come up to the fire, ladies.
I'm not cold.
Now, Mr. Hale, before we move things about, you explain to Mr. Henderson just what you saw when you came here yesterday morning.
By the way, Sheriff, has anything been moved? Are things just as you left them yesterday?
It's just the same. When I dropped below zero last night, I thought I'd better send Frank out this morning to make a fire for us. No use getting pneumonia with a big case on. But I told him not to touch anything except the stove. And you know Frank.
Yeah, but somebody should have been left here yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. When I had to send Frank to Morris Center for that man who went crazy, I want you to know I had my hands full yesterday. I knew you could get back from Omaha by today, and as long as I went over everything here myself...
Well, Mr. Hale, tell just what happened when you came here yesterday morning.
Well, Harry and I had started to town with a load of potatoes. We came along the road from my place, and as I got here, I said, I'm going to see if I can't get John Wright to go in with me on a party telephone. I spoke to Wright about it once before, and he put me off. Saying folks talk too much anyway, and all he asked was peace and quiet. I guess you know about how much he talked himself. But I thought maybe if I went to his home and talked about it before his wife, though I said to Harry that I didn't know as what his wife wanted made much difference to John.
All right, well, let's talk about that later, Mr. Hale. I do want to talk about that. But tell now just what happened when you got to this house.
All right, I didn't hear or see anything. I knocked at the door, and still it was all quiet inside. I knew they must be up. It was past 8 o'clock. So I knocked again, and I thought I heard somebody say, "Come in." I wasn't sure, and I'm not sure yet. But I opened the door, this kitchen door here, and there in that rocker sat Mrs. Wright.
And what was she doing?
She was rocking back and forth. She had her apron in her hand, was kind of pleating it.
And how did she look?
Well, she looked queer.
Well, how do you mean, queer?
Well, as if she didn't know what she was going to do next. And I don't know, sort of kind of done up.
Well, how did she seem to feel about your coming?
Well, I don't think she minded one way or another. She didn't pay much attention. I said, "How do, Mrs. Wright? It's cold, ain't it?" And she said, "Is it?" And went on kind of pleating at her apron. Well, I was surprised. She didn't ask me to come up to the stove or to sit down, but just sat there, not even looking at me. So I said, "I want to see John." And then she laughed. I guess you could call it a laugh. I thought of Harry and the team outside, So I said, a little sharp, "Can't I see John?" "No," she says, kind of dull-like. "Ain't he home?" says I. "Yes," says she. "He's home." "Then why can't I see him?" I asked her. I was getting out of patience. "'Cause he's dead," says she. "Dead," says I. She just nodded her head, not getting a bit excited, but rocking back and forth. "Where is he?" says I, not knowing what to say. She just pointed upstairs, like that. And I got up with the idea of going up there. I walked from there to here, and then I says, "Hi, what did he die of?" "He died of a rope around his neck," says she. And just went on pleating at her apron. Well, I went out and called Henry. I thought I might need help. We went upstairs, and there he was, lying right there.
I think I'd rather have you go into that upstairs where you can point it all out. Just go on now with the rest of the story.
Well, my first thought was to get that rope off. I looked... But Harry, he went up to him and he said, no, he's dead all right and we'd better not touch anything. So we went back downstairs. She was still sitting that same way. Has anybody been notified? I asked. No, says she, unconcerned. Who did this, Mrs. Wright, said Harry. He said it business-like, and she stopped pleating at her apron. I don't know, she says. You don't know, says Harry. No, says she. Weren't you sleeping in the bed with him, says Harry. Yes, says she, but I was on the inside. Somebody slipped a rope around his neck and strangled him, and you didn't wake up, says Harry. I didn't wake up, she said after him. We must have looked as if we didn't see how that could be, for after a minute she said, I sleep sound. Harry was going to ask her more questions, but I said, maybe we ought to let her tell her story first to the coroner or the sheriff. So Harry went fast as he could to Rivers' place where there's a telephone.
And what did Mrs. Wright do when she knew that you had gone for the coroner?
Well, she moved from that chair to this over here. And she just sat there with her hands held together and looking down. I got a feeling that I ought to make some conversation. So I said I'd come to see if John wanted to put in a telephone. And at that she started to laugh. Then she stopped and looked at me scared. I don't know, maybe it wasn't scared. I wouldn't like to say it was. Soon Harry got back, and then Dr. Lloyd came, and you, Mr. Peters, and so I guess that's all I know, that you don't.
Well, I guess we'll go first upstairs, and then out to the barn and around there. Sheriff, you're convinced that there was nothing important here? Nothing that would point to any motive?
Nothing here but kitchen things.
What's in this cupboard? Oh, now here's a nice mess.
Oh, her fruit. It did freeze. She worried about that when it turned so cold. She said that the fire'd go out and her jars would break.
Well, can you beat the women? Held for murder and worrying about her preserves.
Well, I guess before we're through, she may have something more serious than preserves to worry about.
Well, women are used to worrying over trifles.
And yet, for all their worries, what would we do without the ladies? Dirty towels here. Dirty dishes. Not much of a housekeeper, would you say, ladies?
But there's a great deal of work to be done on a farm.
Well, to be sure, and yet I know there are some Dixon County farmhouses which do not have such roller towels.
Well, those towels get dirty awful quick, and men's hands aren't always as clean as they might be.
Loyal to your sex, I see. But you and Mrs. Wright were neighbors. I suppose you were friends, too.
No, I've not seen much of her late years. I've not been in this house. It's more than a year.
And why was that? You didn't like her?
I liked her well enough. Farmers' wives have their hands full, Mr. Henderson. And then...
Yes?
It never seemed a very cheerful place.
No, it's not cheerful. I shouldn't say she had the homemaking instinct.
Well, I don't know as Wright had, either.
You mean they didn't get on very well?
No, I don't mean anything, but I don't think a place be any cheerfuller for John Wright's being in it.
I'd like to talk more of that a little later. I want to get the lay of things upstairs now.
I suppose anything Mrs. Peters does will be all right. She was to take in some clothes for her, you know, and a few little things. We left in such a hurry yesterday.
Yes, but I would like to see what you take, Mrs. Peters, and keep an eye out for anything that might be of use to us.
Yes, Mr. Henderson.
I'd hate to have men coming into my kitchen, snooping around and criticizing.
Well, of course, it's no more than their duty.
Well, duty's all right, but I guess that deputy sheriff that came out to make the fire might got some of the dirt on these towels, and I wish I'd thought of that sooner. Seems mean to talk about her for not having things slicked up when she had to come away in such a hurry.
Oh, look here. She had bread set.
Yes. Oh, it's a shame about her fruit. I wonder if it's all gone. Well, I think there's some here. That's all right, Mrs. Peters. Well, yes. Here. This is cherries, too. I declare, I believe that's the only one. She'll feel awful bad after all her hard work in the hot weather. I remember the afternoon I put up my cherries last summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must get those things from the front room closet. Are you coming with me, Mrs. Hale? You could help me carry them. Oh, my, it's just cold in there.
Mr. Wright was close. I think maybe that's why she kept so much to herself. She didn't even belong to the ladies' aid, and I suppose she felt she couldn't do her part, and then you don't enjoy things when you feel shabby. She used to wear pretty clothes and be lively when she was Minnie Foster, one of the town girls singing in the choir. But, oh, that was 30 years ago. This all you was to take?
Well, she said you wanted an apron. It's a funny thing to want, but there isn't much to get you dirty in jail, goodness knows. But I suppose it's just to make her feel more natural. She said that they was in the top drawer of this cupboard. Yes, here. And then her little shawl. Yes, here it is.
Mrs. Peters, do you think she did it?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I don't think she did. Asking for an apron and her little shawl, worrying about her fruit.
Well, Mr. Peters says that it looks bad for her. Mr. Henderson is awful sarcastic in speech, and he'll make fun of her, saying she didn't wake up.
Well, I guess John Wright didn't wake when they were slipping that rope under his neck.
No. No, it's strange. It must have been done awful crafty and still. They say that it was such a funny way to kill a man, rigging it all up like that.
Well, that's just what Mr. Hale said. I mean, there was a gun in the house. He says that's what he can't understand.
Mr. Henderson said, coming out, that what was needed for the case was a motive, something to show anger or sudden feeling.
Well, I don't see any signs of anger around here. Look at this. Half this table is wiped clean. The other half isn't. I wonder how they're finding things upstairs. I hope she had it a little more there. You know, it seems kind of sneaking, locking her up in town and then coming out here and trying to get her own house to turn against her.
But Mrs. Hale, the law is the law.
I suppose it is. Better loosen up your things, Mrs. Peters. You won't feel them when you go out.
Yes. Oh, here's her sewing basket. She was piecing a quilt.
What? It's a log cabin pattern. Pretty, isn't it? I wonder if she was going to quilt or just knot it.
They wonder if she was going to quilt it or just knot it.
Well, Frank's fire didn't do much up there, did it? Well, let's go out of the barn and then get that cleared up.
I don't know as there's anything so strange. Are taking up our time with little things while we're waiting for them to get the evidence. I don't see as it's anything to laugh about.
Well, of course, they've got awful important things on their minds.
But, Mrs. Peters, look at this one. Here, this is the one she was working on, and look at the sewing. But all the rest of it has been so nice and even, and look at this. Well, it's all over the place. Why, it looks as if she didn't know what she was about.
What are you doing, Mrs. Hale?
Well, just pulling out a stitch or two that's not sewed very good. Bad sewing always makes me fidgety.
Well, I don't think we ought to touch things.
Well, I'll just finish up this end. Mrs. Peters.
Yes, Mrs. Hale?
What do you suppose she was so nervous about?
I don't know. I don't know if she was nervous. I sometimes sew awful queer when I'm just tired. Well, I must get these things wrapped up. They may be through sooner than we think. I wonder where I can find a piece of paper and a string.
Well, in that cupboard, maybe.
Oh, yes. Why, look. It's a bird cage in the cupboard. Did she have a bird, Mrs. Hale?
Why, I don't know whether she did or not. I've not been here for so long. Well, there was a man around last year selling canaries cheap, but I don't know if she took one. Maybe she did. She used to sing real pretty herself.
It seems funny to think of a bird here, but she must have had one, or why should she have a cage? I wonder what happened to it.
I suppose maybe the cat got it.
Oh, no, she didn't have a cat. She's got that feeling that some people have about cats, being afraid of them. My cat got in her room, and she was real upset, and she asked me to take it up.
Yeah, my sister Bessie was like that. Queer, ain't it?
Look, the door of this birdcage is broke. One hinge is pulled apart.
It looks as if someone must have been rough with it.
Why, yes.
I wish if they're going to find any evidence, they'd be about it. I don't like this place.
I'm awful glad that you came with me, Mrs. Hale. It would have been lonesome of me sitting in here alone.
It would, wouldn't it? But I tell you what I do wish, Mrs. Peters. I wish I had come over sometime she was here. I wish I had.
But of course you were awful busy, Mrs. Hale. Your house and your children.
Well, I could have come. I stayed away because it weren't cheerful, and that's why I ought to have come. I never liked this place. Maybe because it's down in a hollow and you don't see the road. I don't know what it is, but it's a lonesome place and always whiz, and I wish I had come over to see Minnie Foster sometimes. I can see
but
now.
But you mustn't reproach yourself, Mrs. Hale. Somehow, we just don't see how it is with other folks until something comes up.
Yes. Not having children makes less work, but it makes a quiet house. And Wright out to work all day and no company when he did come in. Did you know John Wright, Mrs. Peters?
Not to know him. I've seen him in town. They say he was a good man.
Yes, good. He didn't drink and kept his word as well as most, I guess, and paid his debts. But he was a hard man, Mrs. Peters. Just to pass the time of day with him, like a raw wind that gets to the bone. I should think she would have wanted a bird. But what do you suppose went with it?
Oh, I don't know, unless it got sick and died.
She, come to think of it, she was kind of like a bird herself. Real sweet and pretty, but kind of timid and fluttery. How she did change. I tell you what, Mrs. Peters, why don't you take the quilt in with you? It might take up her mind.
Well, I think that's a real nice idea, Mrs. Hale. There couldn't possibly be any objection to it, could there? Now, just what would I take? I wonder if her patches are here in this basket?
Well, here's some red. I expect this has got sewing things in it. Oh, there's a pretty box in here. It looks like something somebody would give you. Maybe her scissors are in the box. Why, there's something wrapped up in this piece of silk.
Why, this isn't her scissors.
Oh, Mrs. Peters!
It's the bird.
But Mrs. Peters, look at it. Its neck. Look at its neck. It's all other side, too.
Somebody wrung its neck.
Well, ladies, have you decided whether she was going to quilt it or knot it?
We think she was going to knot it.
Well, that's interesting, I'm sure. I see you found a bird cage. Has the bird flown?
We think the cat got it.
Is there a cat?
Well, not now. They're superstitious, you know. They leave.
No sign at all of anyone having come from the outside. Their own rope. Now let's go up again and go over it piece by piece. You know, it would have to have been someone who knew just the way that...
She liked the bird. She was going to bury it in that pretty box.
When I was a girl, my kitten, there was a boy who took a hatchet, and before my eyes, before I could get there, if it hadn't held me back, I would have hurt him.
I wonder how it would seem never to have had any children around. No. Wright wouldn't like the bird. A thing that sang. She used to sing. He killed that, too.
We don't know who killed the bird.
I knew John Wright.
It was an awful thing done in this house that night, Mrs. Hale. Killing a man while he slept, slipping a rope round his neck that choked the life out of
him. Well, his neck choked the life out of him. Just what was done to this bird.
We don't know who killed him. We don't.
If there had been years and years of nothing, then a bird to sing to you, it would be awful. Still, after the bird was still.
I know what stillness is. When we homesteaded in Dakota, and my first baby died after he was 2 years old, and me was no other than a...
How soon do you suppose they'll be through looking for evidence?
I know what stillness is. The law, Mrs. Hale, the law has got to punish crime.
Well, I wish you'd seen Minnie Foster when she wore a white dress with blue ribbons and stood up there in the choir and sang. Oh, I wish I'd come over here once in a while. That was a crime. That was a crime, and who's going to punish that?
We mustn't take on.
But I might have known she needed help. I know how things can be for women. I tell you, it's queer, Mrs. Peters. We live close together, and we live far apart. And we all go through the same things. It's all just a different kind of the same thing. If I was you, I wouldn't tell her the fruit was gone. Tell her it ain't. Tell her it's all right, and take this in to prove it to her. She may never know whether it was broke or not.
It's a good thing that the men couldn't hear us. Wouldn't they just laugh? Getting all stirred up over a little thing like a dead canary. As if that had anything to do with... Wouldn't they laugh?
Maybe they would. Maybe they wouldn't.
No, Peters, it's all perfectly clear except a reason for doing it. But you know juries when it comes to women. If there was some definite thing, something to show, something to... make a story about a thing that would, you know, connect up with this strange way of doing it.
Well, I've got the team around. Gee, it's cold out there.
Well, I'm going to stay here a while by myself. Sheriff, you can send Frank out for me, can't you? I want to go over everything. I am not satisfied that we can't do better.
You want to see what Mrs. Peters is going to take in?
Oh, I guess they're not very dangerous things the ladies have picked up. No, Mrs. Peters doesn't need supervising. For that matter, a sheriff's wife is married to the law. Ever think of it that way, Mrs. Peters?
Not just that way.
Married to the law. I just want you to come in here a minute, George. We ought to take a look at these windows.
Oh, windows.
We'll be right out, Mr. Hale.
Mrs. Peters, put that box in your handbag.
Oh, I can't. It's too big.
Well, give it to me. I'll put it in my coat pocket.
Well, Henry, at least we found out that she was not going to quilt it. She was going to, what is it you call it, ladies?
We call it knot it, Mr. Henderson, where you tie a knot and pull it tight.
You have heard Trifles by Susan Glaspell. The county attorney was played by David Newton. Mrs. Peters by Louise Latham. The sheriff was played by Braden McKinley. Mr. Hale by Larry Williams. Mrs. Hale was played by Edie Tolt. Trifles was produced and directed by your host, William Smithers. Recorded by the production room, Santa Barbara, California. Sound editor, Lars Nelson. This has been a production of KCSB and the Santa Barbara Theater of the Air.